Thank you, Miss Connie. We appreciate it. If you have your Bibles, take and open them up to the book of John, the first chapter of John. Hope you brought on your Bible tennis shoes today. We're going to look at several different scriptures. If you can't keep up, then I encourage you here in a moment to at least write them down and go back and read them when you have the opportunity. Take a moment of privilege here for a second. I want to thank all of you for, on behalf of myself and Royce and our family, thank you for all the prayers throughout the year, and we covet those, and we appreciate that. Thank you to the ladies' ministry for your gift to our family. We appreciate that, and the many cards and different gifts that each one of you shared with us, and we understand that comes from a heart, and we appreciate that so much. And I am very blessed to have the honor of being the pastor of this church, without a doubt. When y'all first called me, I talked to my old preacher, and I told him, I said, "Man, that never was in my plan." He just kind of grinned and sat back, and he said, "Well, we'll see." And my other mentor pastor said, "Being the pastor is not a bad deal if it wasn't for all the people." And he was joking for a number of years, Brother Jim, and man, that's what makes it exciting is the people. So we come on a brand new Sunday of a brand new year, and not a single one of us know what's going to happen. And that gives some people some anxieties. There will be births in this next year. There will be deaths in this next year. There will be times that you're on top of the mountain. There's going to be times that you're in the valleys. That's part of life. But the one thing that is constant, without a doubt, is our God. As we talked the other night Justin Todd brought the message saying that God was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. And that is so very true. He is the same. We live in a world that is constantly looking and searching for something, just as we were in the past. And nothing will ever satisfy until we fill that God spot. And the only thing that fills that God spot is Jesus Christ Himself. And so this morning, the title of the message is God's Light in Chaos. And all of us live in chaos at one time or another. And Miss Connie talked about a while ago about worrying and having that peace within. Even in the midst of the storm and the chaos, you and I can find that peace if we rely on Him within us. And so this morning, being the first Sunday, this is the message the Lord gave me that many of you are going through difficult times in here. You've got things ahead of you, and there's things that you already know about. There's things that you don't know about that all of us are going to face, and we will need His strength and His guidance. And so that is what this message is focused on, of God's light in chaos. You know, oftentimes we walk around in this world looking for our pathway, and it's almost like we have one of those little paper matches that we've struck in the middle of the darkness trying to see where we're going, and before long it burns our fingers and we're back in the darkness. There is a light that is constant that shows the way. So I invite you, if you're able to stand, to honor the reading of God's Word in John chapter 1. We'll read the first 5 verses. And John writes under the Holy Spirit, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." You may be seated. John continues on down here, he says, the man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, all that all through him might believe. And he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. And the light, and that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. B.C. talked about the new birth of a great-grandchild and one other one on the way. And, you know, one of the things that we have to instill in ourselves is to teach our children. We see a resurgence of people, of young people, looking for God and looking for a foundation to build their life on. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. Along the way, because men and trying to be politically correct, we have taken, we tried to take God out of everything. Folks, we'll never remove God. What we just read, He is the Creator of all things. And without Him, nothing is created. Nothing can function. Nothing can happen. Matter of fact, if you will look with me over into the book of Genesis, again, I told you we're going to travel a little bit. So Genesis 1, in the very beginning, notice what it says in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, especially number 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. You know, I could almost describe some of our lives. We're in darkness, it's in chaos, nothing seems to be going our way. We're looking for some type of light. And you say, well, preacher, I don't know that that's true. Y'all realize the record number of suicides in our society. And not just to the old folks that have some type of terminal disease, but young people who have a full life ahead of them. And it's tragic, folks, that they would come to the point to believe there is so little hope that the only thing they can do is look forward to death. That is a tragic outtake of our society. It's a loss of God being in our society. Because in Him there is hope for all of eternity, as Mike read from the book of Revelation. And we know that God makes us that promise that Jesus will return. We just celebrated His birth. In a few months, we will celebrate the fact not only that He died for our sins, but more importantly, He rose again and lives today and sits at the right hand of the Father. And in the very beginning, God looked at this because, as we find in other readings, we know there was a great battle in heaven. And the devil and his angels were kicked out. But it left all that God had at that point in time in chaos, without form, without void. But our God is an organized God. Nothing happens by chance. I'm convinced of that. We go, well, if everything works out, there is no well, if I'm lucky. I ain't lucky, I'm blessed. That's the bottom line. No matter what takes place, it has to come before God to be allowed. Even Satan cannot perform anything without God's permission. The book of Job teaches us that. He had to go and ask God for permission. God said, you can try all these different things to prove His faith, but you cannot take His life. God who gives life is the only one that takes life. When we go outside of His perfection, then we have chaos. And notice in Genesis, not only does it say that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. For you and I, God, even though we may not recognize it in the time of our distress, in the time of our troubles and our trials, God is hovering. He is there. Even before we knew Him as a Lord and Savior, God was right there. I can look back on many a time where I see what was taking place, and I see that it was the hand of God that brought me through those times. Some of those circumstances that, really be honest, I shouldn't be around anymore. But it was the hand of God that brought that through. God was not done with me, nor is He done with any of you. And the very next verse in Genesis says that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, which complements what we read in John at the very beginning, that the Word was with God, the Word being Jesus Christ. That's further in Genesis where He creates man when He says, "Let us make him in our image," in the plural form. I do not believe in any form or fashion there's a mistake in the translation or in the writing of this Bible, as all of it was inspired by the hand of God. Turn with me, if you will, right quickly to Corinthians 14 and verse 33. 1 Corinthians 14. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is inspired by the Spirit to write for you and I, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and in all the churches of the saints," as in all the churches of the saints. It is not God that creates the chaos that we see in our society today. That is an orchestration of the devil. The devil loves chaos. And nothing makes a devil happier than to be able to get into a church and disrupt the harmony and the peace that God has placed in there. You see, as a family, we should have a unity, a spirit that cohesives us all into one. Justin Todd Herod was here with his wife, Rainey. One of the things is Justin left, and we had a really good time with him on Tuesday evening, and then obviously on our New Year's, and we hope that you enjoyed it. We, the musicians, thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. We got to play and sing and jam with each other that we wouldn't normally be able to do. And the one thing that Justin told me, he said, "You know," he said, "it is obvious that this is a family." He said, "You care about each other. You care about folks outside of the church." But he said the cohesiveness and the spirit that Rainey and I felt coming into this church. He said, "It was here when we came back in July, but I saw it so much more this trip." And he said, especially the night of the party. We normally don't spend every time there's a New Year's Eve. He said, "We're on the road somewhere. We're spending it somewhere." And he said, "This had to be the highlight." He said, both Rainey and I talked about that. And he called afterwards. He said, "This was the highlight of what we got to see." He said, "This was just pure fellowship." He said, "We prayed in the new year, and then we got to enjoy one another, and God was in the midst." And so he said, that is something, and this comes obviously from a guy that travels all over. And he said, it was so unique. He said, some churches we go to, he said, it's almost like the seven churches in Revelation. He said, they're just dead. They exist. He said, but I compliment you and will pray for y'all because he says you see life. And that is a compliment to each of you. That spirit. And that is what we have to continue. Folks, we have people outside of this church who constantly call members of this church to pray for them and their situations. And as I told Justin, I said, yeah, it is a very tight family. When we lose one of ours, it's not just the death of someone that was a member. It is a death to our family. But we're assured of that rejoicing that we will see them again. And we've experienced plenty through this past year. And unfortunately, we'll experience some more in this next year. But again, God has promised you and I that His grace is always sufficient. And He is in control. And when we look upon the death of a believer, as we know those times will come until the God takes all of us home, remember that fact. Their life just started, a totally abundant life. Even Lazarus didn't want to come back, but he did for the glory of God. And so here it tells us that you and I, He is not the author of the confusion that we see in our world, but God is there to bring peace. And so as we see the things, do not let it dishearten you in this world. I know there's a lot of things that seem to look bad at the moment throughout our nation, throughout our communities, in our world. But God's on the move. We have seen Him perform miracles within our own community, and how even Little Llano affects a lot of things across our nation with what our leaders did, especially those who stood strong throughout the time of all of this with the books and the things for our young people. And folks, that is where we need to spend our time, is with our young people. Because you and I are not going to be here forever. And we've already seen in the generations passed down how that what we get taught as a child, God's Word tells us that we will return to it. We may stray. But it is so important that we talk to our kids and to our grandkids and our great-grandchildren and bring them up in the paths and the ways of the Lord. And we exemplify that not only by what we say, but how we live our lives. And so our testimony is living at all times. Turn, if you will, over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, again, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. And he's talking about the day of our Lord. And every day that you and I have the opportunity that God gives us to live draws us a day closer that our Lord and Savior will return. And I am fully invested. He will return because He says He will. He is a God of truth. It is always faithful. And every single thing that we look at through the Bible and prophecy always comes to fruition. From the Lord's birth to His death, to His resurrection, and to His return. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren," they thought they saw the times and the seasons then, just as we do. You know, that's one of the things when you read back in history, there's not a single thing that changed. Oh, we find new mechanisms to disrupt each other, and we have, instead of chariots, we have vehicles and trucks and so forth. But the heart of man has never changed. Without God, it will be evil. We see that. He says, "Concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Scripture has told us that. No man knows the hour nor the day. I kind of have to chuckle every now and then when somebody says, "Oh, the end of the world is coming on this day." Really? You need to go read a different Bible, is all I can tell you, because that isn't what the Lord says. "Not even the Son, Jesus, knows the day nor the hour. Only the Father," is what Scripture says. Verse 2, he says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk and drunk, are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing." That's what draws the unity that Justin spoke of with this group, a body of believers. It is that we edify each other. We lift each other up in hope and in spirit, and most of all, through prayer. What I told Justin was, I said, you want to really know what brings that unity together? We have a host of prayer warriors in this church. And that communication, you know, we hear that through business and everything with the world, that communication is everything. Well, folks, it's not communication of the world. It's communication with our Heavenly Father. It is praying for one another. We rejoice and praise when one of our own is blessed by God. We also come and humbly before on our knees when someone is in need. It is that communication that God blesses. We have seen that. You know, this year will be a 20-year anniversary of me being pastor at this church. Good Lord willing, comes on through to fruition for the end of the year. But in those 20 years, and the men that are elders of this church will testify to that, there have been times when different things have come up that we're going to bring back before the congregation or even in the elders' meeting where we discuss things about which way our church should go. And even in those times when we all do not agree, what we have found, and I think they will each one testify to that, what we make a resolution of that day before we end that meeting is we will take it away, we will go and pray each on it, and come back to see what God tells us we need to do. And every single time we come up the next trip, most of the time it's not what any of us had, but we come to a consensus of exactly where God is leading. And folks, that's not just for a church, that's for individual lives. Because we, the individuals, make up this church. I kind of laugh when people come that hadn't been in a good while, you know, they came back when we had sawdust on the floor. And, oh, y'all have changed. There's no sawdust anymore. It's dirt now. I didn't think you'd ever get rid of the sawdust. And those that were elders here at the time, I will tell you, became a big concern. Because there was a lot of talk about we want it, we don't want it, back and forth, back and forth. And my biggest concern, and I told them that, I said, we need to pray real hard because this, the devil could use that to split this church apart over something stupid. Yeah. And that's what the devil does. And he'll do it in each one of our lives if we allow him. He'll take something stupid and make a mountain out of it. You know, we came to the vote of what to do, and it was unanimous across the board. I want to attribute that to our smartness. That is to God's intervention. Because I'll be here to tell you that the elders disagreed. That's what makes us unique. Well, yeah, but everybody hates it. There's allergies. We already have cedar fever, and there's nothing we can do about that, so we got to live with it. But we could fix the dust. And there's been discussion since then about different ways. But the point is, we allowed God to lead, not us. He brings it to that point of cohesiveness. He is not of confusion. He is not of chaos, but He is of unity and peace and harmony that resides. I'll be the first one to tell you, if you look around and you know members of other churches, we've seen every church go through that. And it is by your prayers, all of us collectively, that we have not gone through that. And I don't mean the old devil's going to quit trying, so I'm going to tell you to keep on your knees and keep praying. I appreciate what Brother Mark said. I appreciate your prayers because that helps me be the first one to tell you. I can convince my wife I'm perfect, but I can't convince all of you, okay? She just told me I'm perfect because she got me trained. I know how you ladies are. It's the only reason Walt's perfect right now. Connie's trained him. Folks, we have to translate. One of the greatest things we can do is translate that prayer, that unity, from this as a body to, in our individual lives, to share with others when we walk out of here. We should be able to tell others that go, I just don't see any way out. There is a way out. Let me tell you about the good things. Let me tell you about the one who brings peace and not chaos and confusion, but unity. And yes, more especially, he gives hope. This life is not all there is. This is just a stop in the road. Life is what we have coming towards us. Abundant life. It's God's home called heaven, and each one of us are invited to be there. Now, walking through those trials and tribulations, one last scripture, and we'll close. Come with me to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and verse 105. This, God's word, hits right at the crux of every bit of it. 105 says, your word, meaning the word of God, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, we walk in a world of darkness. It's great to be all together here. But here in a little bit, we're going to dismiss and we're walking back out into that world. That support, that cohesiveness, that prayers that you have inside of this building, and the fellowship that you enjoy inside of this building, we are all going to be dispersed. And we're not out there on our own, but that's oftentimes what we fail to recognize. It's why it's so important that we do gather together. It's why it's important that we pray for one another. We pray for members of this church. Sometimes we have them by name because of some conflict or some trial that they're going through. But I encourage you through this year to pray for each of the members of this church. As they walk through the life out there in the world of darkness, as Jesus tells us in Matthew, to let our light shine. What we enjoy in here is easily transmitted outside of this church. Many of you have brought visitors throughout the year, and visitors even here today. You do that because of your testimony and because you believe there is something special that takes place in this place. It's not this preacher. It's not you. It is that unity of God's Spirit bringing us together. That is what is special. I told y'all Christmas Eve and in the message that they talk about the mystery of Christmas, why it is what it is. It is not a mystery, it's Jesus Christ. You want to know the mystery of life? It's the same answer. It's Jesus Christ. When we keep our eyes focused on Him, when we follow Psalms 105, we let Him be the lamp of our feet to guide our pathways. You and I will have that light. We can walk in His light. We're not worried about some little old match going to end up burning our fingers if we're not paying attention, because most of the time we're not, and we'll get burned by it. His light never quenches. His light will never go out. It's just when we get distracted and don't follow that light. There is a reason Scripture says, and Jesus Himself said, I am the truth, the way, and the light. He is the light of the world. From the beginning of time, throughout all of eternity. Scripture even tells us that in heaven there is no sun, there is no moon. Why? Because God lights it. There's no reason to have any type of planet or star that brings that light. The star is God Himself. And it is Jesus Christ, the light that came to men in the darkness. See, He gets rid of all of that darkness in our lives. That's the redeeming power that He took forth when He went to that cross. That's the redeeming power when the Father resurrected him. And he sits at the right hand of Father. He intercedes for you and I. I'll leave you with this last thought. That interceding that he does for you and I, that's just like when we're talking to somebody of our family or our close friends and we whisper in their ear good counsel. That's Jesus whispering in the Father's ear. Daddy, I know they can be kind of ornery and they can wander away, but they're one of mine. See them through my blood. You know what the Father sees? Righteousness and holiness. You and I are seen righteous by the Father. You and I are seen holy by the Father through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know what 2026 will bring for any of us, but I can rest assured that this, whatever comes our way, Jesus Christ will go through every step with us. And just as the 23rd Psalm, he is our shepherd. And we have no fear whatsoever because he has already overcome death and is victorious over everything in this world. I invite you to bow your head, close your eyes. I'm done. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity, even if there's just one. And it may be that every single one of you know him. And what I would tell you is it's always a pleasure to come back to our Father in a renewness. Not as the world sees it. Not as some type of resolution we want to make. Because most of all of those get broken anyway. But a coming to him and asking for him to refresh and to ignite not just a flame inside of us, but a burning fire. To tell others about Jesus Christ, to experience him in our life. Let his light shine and brighten our pathway and show us the decisions that we need to make to keep our hope and our peace ever present, knowing that all things come from him and there is nothing without him. See, Jesus Christ offers that to everyone. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that all may come to him." No one is excluded. If you don't know him today, that invitation is to you. Those who already know our Lord are going to be praying that you accept Jesus Christ today. We also pray for one another that we allow him to guide and direct every step of our life throughout this year. That we honor and glorify his name. For whatever he puts on our hearts, he has promised that his word will never return void. Whatever God wants you to do this year, you can fully allow him to guide your life and know that it will be blessed and glorify his name. And you'll receive abundant joy. Nothing ever is like the joy of following through on the direction of his Holy Spirit. As we pray together this simple prayer, and if there's just one, then our time here has been fully worth it. Dear Lord Jesus, I come today confessing I am a sinner. I need a Savior in my life. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I ask you today to come into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior all of my life, forgiving me of my sins, and walking with me always, even into eternity. See, the Lord didn't make it tough for any of us. He allows us to use whatever words we want. But all He asks is that we confess He is the Lord and that we need a Savior. If you believe on Him today and you ask Him into your heart, not a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, then my friend, you're assured of eternity. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if anyone in here today asks Christ into their life for the